Welcome, Tov, and welcome back to our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. This is our final podcast on Masachet Yevamot. We are Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, Masachet Yevamot, the Mishnah in the middle of the Amud, and let's take a look at it. We continue to investigate the various circumstances and parameters of testimony that a man has died to allow his wife to remarry. Afilu Shomam in Anashim Omrot Meit Ish Ploni. In this Mishnah, in this Sugya, we're going to deal with Ne'amanut, who is trusted, and under what circumstances we can accept testimony, and from what people. Even if you overhear women saying, not testify, but they say, certain guy died, dayo, that's good enough. And then the witness comes and says, I heard the woman saying this. Even if somebody hears kids saying, we're on our way to go bury Ishponi. Now notice, here he's demanding that there be a little bit more higher threshold of information, more information. We'll see that it's even higher than that. Bein shemit kaveinu vein she'eino mitkaveinu. It doesn't matter whether the guy coming to testify intends to testify or is just mentioning things there are hagag. Rabbi Yisrael distinguishes, and he says, if it's a Jewish person coming to testify, it doesn't matter that he's intending to testify to allow this woman to remarry, or just relating something that he saw happen or that he heard about. There's a very, very big principle of ne'amanut. If a non-Jew comes to testify and he's intending to testify, we'll see what that means in the Gemara, then the testimony is not accepted. So when is it accepted? We'll see. All right, so the first thing the Gemara asks is, the Dimelo Asli, it says the kids, if they say, we're on our way to bury somebody, well, maybe they never go. And maybe the information's wrong. You know, Shmuel, the Kamri, Harenu, by in Mili spoken the Kvodish Pony. They didn't say, we're on our way to a funeral for this guy. We're coming back from this funeral. The Dimelo Kamsa Ba'alma Shachivlei. So maybe the guy had some animal of his die or whatever. In other words, who says it was his funeral? Now, the answer is, and they buried and mentioned his name. They say these rabbis were there, these eulogizers were there. In other words, they describe something about the funeral that makes it clear that it was the guy whose name they're mentioning who really died and not something he owned. Now, the end of the Mishnah says that it was an Oved Kohavim if he intends, and his testimony is no good. So Shmuel puts a twist on it. He says, if the guy comes and his testimony is intended to allow this woman to remarry, then we don't believe him. We come in, if he does come intending to testify that he saw this Jewish man die, then it's good testimony. Why not? Now, and how are we going to tell what his purpose is? We all say, if a guy comes and says, Ploni is dead, marry his wife off, that's called mitkaven latir. We don't believe him. And by the way, the reason may be that he's trying to mess this family up and have the woman marry another man. In the meantime, her husband's really alive, etc. So Rish Lakish agrees with Shmuel and says that if the fellow comes intending to testify as a witness, we accept it. It's only if he comes and says, hey, may I let the woman marry? I know her husband's dead, then we don't believe him. Rabbi Yochanan says there was a story that happened about Rabbi Hoshaya. She tiram im shmonim chamisha zakenim. He was matir all these women to marry based on such testimony. And the rabbi said back that we don't accept the testimony. And he said, we do accept the testimony of this guy because the only time we don't accept it, this is Rish Lakish and Shmuel, but the only time we don't accept it is if he's coming in order to be not to hear. If he comes to testify, it's good. But the upshot for Rabbi Yochanan is, and Chachamim did not accept the distinction. So then, if that's the case, that no matter why the guy is coming, he's coming to testify to allow her to marry, he's coming to testify in order to testify, it's no good. So when do we say that it is good in the Mishnah? What's the case? The answer is Messiah Chafitubo. If he's just relating something, there are a hard guy who says, I happened to walk, I saw this guy who was dead, He just mentions it. He doesn't seem to be coming for any purpose. He doesn't walk into Beit Din to testify. And Nail is just relating something that happened. As an example of a fellow who was walking and saying, Manika bechivoy, manika bechivoy. Is there anybody in the house of Chivoy? Shachiv Chivoy. I want to tell you that Chivoy died. This fellow died. Answer Rav Yosef the Navitur. Rav Yosef then said, the wife can marry because this testimony is good. Ahuda Hamika Amar Vazel was a fellow who was walking and repeating, Vile the Parsha Zriza. Oi to this famous Parsha Zriza, this Jewish Gibor. Agumadita the Shachiv. He does the Nimbumadita, he's dead. He just said, whoa, this great guy is now dead. The answer of Yosef, Rava the Navitur. So either of Yosef or Rava married off the wife. Now there's a fellow who's walking and saying, Man ika bechasa, tova chasa. Is anybody in chasa's house? Chasa drowned. I saw him drown. Nachman, I elokim, achlu chaver lechasa. So Nachman's declaration was, oh my gosh, the fish have eaten chasa. I mean, debor of Nachman, az revitu de chasa min sava. So the wife heard Rav Nachman saying this. She thought it meant Rav Nachman accepted the testimony 100%. Her husband was dead and she went and married. Lamila velomidia. Nobody told her anything. Which means it's good testimony. Ashi shvamina, hadam rabbanim, maim shenam sof, yishto asurab, harimil lachatchila. See, what's strange about this story is that it's maim shenam sof. He drowned. The guy never showed up. So even though we believe the guy, nonetheless, the circumstances testifying about it is not good enough. What do we see from there? That if a woman marries based on credible testimony, trustworthy testimony, shall we say, that her husband drowned in Mayim She'enam Sof, and she marries, she doesn't have to leave. Machatchila, she shouldn't marry. Aval inasiv lo mafkinu lamina, we don't make her leave the husband. Now, Ika Damri, some people have, answer Rav Nachman the Navitur. Rav Nachman himself married the wife off. Amar Chasa, Gavaraba Ite. He said, Chasa was a great man. In Ita, the Soli, Kali, Leila Milta. If he had really come up on some other side and was talking around, we would all know about it. Velohi, but we reject that. Why? Because we already rejected that in the last daf. Loshna gavrab, loshna lav gavrab. It doesn't matter if it's an important person, not an important person. Lamechacham, not lamechacham. Tiavad in lechatchilo for everybody. Mayim she'en lamsof. We don't allow her to marry. Tiavad, if she does, we don't make her leave. Haruah mekochavim. Now we're going to get into some nuances about the trust of a non-Jew and what he says. There was a particular guy, the Haneka Amale of Israel. He was bullying Israel, more than bullying. I want you to cut some hay and feed it to my animals on Shabbat. And if you don't do it, I'll kill you like I killed that other Jew. And he gives his name. I told him to cook for me on Shabbat. And he didn't cook for me. And I killed him. So now this Jew, who's being bullied, in the meantime, is sort of going to admit that he killed this fellow. And the fellow has evidently been missing. So the wife heard about this. She came to Abaye. She said, perhaps my husband really is dead and I can marry. Shahita Chata Rigli. So the rabbi had her wait there for 3 regalim. And in the meantime, he's going to clarify the case. Abaye evidently wanted to get feedback from his colleagues. And since the Chatam Nechom would always gather around the regal, before the regal, to study, he thought he would bring her case to the Chachamim. Amar Avada Bar Ahava. So Avada Bar Ahava, evidently she found no solution over 3 regalim, could she marry or not? He told her to go to Rav Yosef. Zil the Kamei of Yosef. The Charif Sakina, he's very, very sharp. Azil the Kamei, he went to her. Pashat Nehamat Nitim. So he inferred from this Mishnah that the Goy is not believed. Why? Om Gochad Mishayam Ocher Perot Peshuk. He's selling Perot. Gamar Perot Alalu Shul Orlahim. Shalazikain, Shalnetravayin, all sorts of special circumstances apply to these payrolls. They're from Azekah, a particular good place. He doesn't understand about the halacha. He says, ooh, these are second year fruit, or these are fourth year fruit. So, lo amar klum. We don't believe him. We don't assume that it's orla. Because lo kavelosh biach mekho. He was doing it just to try to get people to pay more money for his fruit, make them sound very, very delectable. In the same way, this goy who was bullying the Jew was just telling him, I'll kill you like I killed that other guy, just to frighten him. Doesn't mean that that's any good testimony. In other words, wherever he has an ulterior motive, what he's saying, we don't believe it, unless there is no ulterior motive. Abi Yudan Ish Tzaydan Amar. Masebi Yisrael Wawi Kochabish Achubadera. It's a story about a Jew and a non-Jew who were traveling together. And then the goy came alone and said, "Oh, too bad about that Jew who was with me. He died, and I buried him on the road." And you know what they buried? They married his wife off based on that testimony. It was a group of Jew, of people who were going up to Antioch. Too bad about the people. They all died and buried them. And the rabbi said their wives can marry. You know, this is all good testimony. There were 60 men. They were going to Beitar. Same story. Good. So the next Mishnah is also about testimony. They could testify if they saw this dead person, even by the light of a candle or a torch, or the light of the moon. You can even marry them based on what we would, might call a ghost voice. A person hears a voice saying that Pony died. I overheard that. I can come and testify to it, and we can marry. I was like, I didn't see anybody in. Right? No, let's hear a story. There was a fellow who was on top of the mountain. He said, "Ish Pony ben Pony, Malcolm Pony mate." So we heard a man's voice saying, "This guy, from son of this guy from this town, died." They went and didn't find anybody. That's a bad call. You see what he's told? They let his wife marry. Shuma said it's Salmon be'achad shemar ani ish poni ben ish poni. Now they heard a voice of a guy saying, "I am a guy." I've been bitten by a snake and I'm dying. And he was doing it so that people will know who he is, so his wife will now be able to marry. They went with somebody they didn't know. They went, and based on that, they allowed his wife to marry. In other words, they did it based on his words, this dying man's words. They did not see the man when he was speaking. And when they came to him, there was a dead body there. I'm Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Tana Beit Shemayim, we may have seen Avibatko, tell me we have seen Avibatko. So we see that our Mishnah is uniquely Beit Hillel and is not a consensus about marrying based on Avibatko. So my Kamashlan, what do I need that for? Manitini, that's our Mishnah. If you find a Mishnah unattributed, it says you do not use a bat kol, don't think it's a mistake. You know it's Beit Shammai. This is the story where they went and they didn't find anybody there. The Dilma Shedu, maybe it was some sort of a demon. When they saw the image of a person. When they got there was nobody there. Demons also know how to do that. The Chazal of Avua, they also saw his reflection, or should we say his shadow. Minunami Iluhu Bavua, they also have a shadow. The Chazal of Avua the Bavua, they saw the shadow of a shadow, meaning that they saw a shadow and the shadow was then reflected in the moonlight. The Dilma did who eat Le Bavua the Bavua, maybe demons also have such a thing. Chanina Marli Yonatan Shida, so I was coached by Yonatan the Shade. It either means that, or it means Yonatan, who is an expert in demonology. They only have reflection. They don't have reflection of reflection. Something insubstantial about their essence. The demon Sarahavai, so forget about the demon. It's another kind of demon, if you will. Maybe it was the co-wife, who of course they don't believe in, is trying to mess her up. Remember what the halacha is, that we can give a get based on somebody's statement, if it's shata sakana, times of danger, even if you don't know who the person is, we relax the rules in order to allow the woman to marry. Same thing here. Maniti. I'm Rav Akiva. Well, good. This is the last Mishnah. Even though in our text it's broken up, it's the last Mishnah, Mishnah Zion. Famous story. We've had this already quoted twice in our Gemara. When I went down in the Hardea to intercalate the year, Matzati Nechemi Ish Beit Li, Amarli Shemati Shein, Sina Taisha, Beres Salpi, Echad, Ella Yudim and Bava. So this is sort of the history of marrying based on one witness. He said, "I went there. I heard the story that you guys are not allowing anyone to marry based on one aid. It's the only rabbi who does is Yudim and Bava." But Nometi Lo Kenneth Raymond, I, Rabbi Kiva, told him, "You're right. Amarle Amarle Mishmi." So he said, "You go tell them in my name. Atem Yudim Sham Dinami Shubesh Pagayasot. There are lots and lots of armies coming through here, and the way we interpret it means I cannot leave my home." But so go tell them, Kublani and Gamliel Azaken, have a tradition that goes back to maybe 100 years from Gamliel Azaken, Shemesina Taishal Pi Dechad, that you do marry a woman off based on one witness, Zeus' testimony, Shambati Ritzaita Rinfran Gamliel, I came and told him Gamliel, the grandson of Gamliel, came. Samachtin Farai, he was very happy. Ramar Matsanu Chaver Rabiram Baba. We found somebody else to support Rabiram Baba. And by the way, it's his own grandfather's testimony from his own grandfather's tradition. What happened is Gamliel, remembered there were all these people who died in Tel Arza. This may have been part of the Jewish war. And they had not, their wives hadn't been married because it was all based on one witness. So he had one witness who saw, maybe not the same witness, with individual witnesses who saw particular people died, and then he went and had a mass wedding for their wives with other men. And at that point, they accepted the tradition of, they accepted the rule of being able to marry of when you have secondhand testimony, even if it's from a woman or from a slave, accept the testimony. That's from Gamliel. They said, you don't, you need proper testimony. You check the entire thing. Akiva says you can use one witness, but it has to be a kosher witness, so not a slave, and not a woman, not a relative, etc. Okay, so now, does Akiva really say that you cannot use a woman's testimony? But that's why Tanya Rishim a woman is allowed to bring her own get from the Dina Tayam and come into Beitin and say, why? There are women who are not trusted to say, and they're allowed, they are trusted to bring the get, like the mother-in-law and the co-wife. This one, a wife who's certainly trusted to say that her own husband died, and certainly she's trusted to bring her own get. So we see that Rabbi Kiva as a premise holds that an individual woman is believed to say that a man has died. So No. What Rabbi Kiva meant was it's those women that the Chacham said are not believed. That's who we don't accept. But certainly a regular woman is. And there's a mother-in-law, sister-in-law, who's not believed. So you see that they are believed. And how could Rabbi Kiva and Armish to say that they aren't? And as Rabbi Kiva originally said that we don't accept it. That was recorded in the Mishnah. Then Rabbi Kiva went to Nardea and heard this tradition from Nehemiah Ish Beit Li. And he came back and he told Rabbi Gamliel, and Gamliel was happy, and Rabbi Kiva Gamliel instituted that we do MPA'd and Edechad, etc., etc. And at that point, of course, Rabbi Kiva said that that's the norm, and that is the later tradition and the final one. Good. Amrulo, so they said back to Rabbi Kiva. It's a strange interjection of the Gemara, but now the Mishnah goes back. Ma'aseh b'nei Levi shachul etzar, yiratzmarim. It's a group of b'nei Levi who went to Soar, which likely is on the other side of the Jordan. If it's the same Soar as Lot, almost assuredly it's either on the northeast or southeast tip, somewhere near the north or southeast tip of the Yam HaMelech today. So one of the guys who was going there got sick and they brought him into an inn. On the way back, they wanted to pick him up. They said to the innkeeper, on the notice, I called her an innkeeperess only because I want to make the point that she's a woman. And because it's important for the issue of testimony. On the way back, they said, where is she? She said to them, "Mate ukvartiv." He died and I buried him. You see what he stole? And they came back and they said to the wife, "You can marry your husband's dead." So now they said to Rabbi Kiva, so this innkeeper was not even Jewish. Why is she more believed than a fine Jewish kohenet, a regular Jewish woman? He said, well, yeah, when she has the same standards as the innkeeper, so we believe, because you don't know the rest of the story. The innkeeper took out his staff and his pouch and his Sefer Torah, quite, and something he would not have handed over to anybody else, but to anybody, except the fact that he indeed was dead. So that's the end of the Mishnah. Now, my griyut to the pundakit. What was so wrong with this pundakit that you have to say that kal v'chomer, the pundakit's believed or somebody else should have? Or if not, easy answer. Pundakit, over to kochav maita. She was not Jewish. Mesicha lefitu maita. And she was just telling the story. We believe her because she wasn't coming to testify. Just telling the story as we concluded in the previous sugya. Right? Zemakro was at Tamilo. Right? She was sad, and she said, look, and Nebuch, here's his stick, here's his pouch. Zekera Shekratibo, that's where I buried him. Pentali Abu Braidu, I'm no Numi Barchia, from the Kito, and Kohabmaita, Schalvitmaita, Zemakro, Zemakro, Zekera Shekratibo. Good, we have a bright that supports that. Vaha Ayecha Reinu Kamila, what are you talking about? She wasn't just Messiah Chalafituma. They had come and asked her, where's our colleague? And then she answered. The answer is, came in the Chazitin of Bachia. The answer is, they came back and they saw her crying. Then they said, Amulai Echavarenu, which means that when by the time they answered the question, she's already got credibility. And they're asking the question because she's crying. Amulayan Metu Kvarti. But Tanar Abana, Masebe Adam Echad Shabar La'id Al-Aisha, the Fair Bitarfa. This guy came to Bitarfa to testify that a man had died. Amar lo b'ni hei achat ha'idea be'idu tishazu. How do you know about this? Amar ani v'hu ha'inu ha'chim ha'derach. V'adaf ha'chayin ha'gayas. We were on the way together, and we were suddenly being chased by an army. Yilam b'yichur shel zayid. He got stuck into a thicket of branches of an olive tree. U'fishcho v'echzir t'agayis t'achavav. He took one, he ripped off one of the branches, turned around, and fought part of the army off and pushed them back. Amar t'ilo, ar yei asher kochacha. And I turn to this fellow and I say, Aryeh, why? Shkoyach. Amar minayat ha'desha Aryeh Shmi. And this other fellow said to me, how do you know I'm called Aryeh? Kach korin ha'tibi yuri, that's my name in my city. Yochanan, Rabbi Yonatan, Aryeh, Mikfar Shichaya. Right? So in other words, I got full identification of who this fellow was. When he fought this group off and I was impressed and I called him Aryeh, he said, yes, indeed, that's my name. And he gave me the whole, his whole social security number. He gave me everything. And a few days later, he got sick, and he died. He didn't die from the army. And so Ritarfon said, that's good testimony. You know who the guy is. We believe you. And she can marry. Ritarfon Labai Drishva Chakira. Ritarfon accepts testimony without checking in and asking, how did this happen? And where were you standing? Or is he standing? And how can you identify the fellow a little better, etc.? Same beginning. Now it was not an olive tree, but it was a fig tree. Right, it's a fig tree this time. Obviously, it's the same story. There's two versions of it. So the same story, and the fellow says, now I know his full name. And by the way, a few days later, he got sick and he died. And so Rabbi Tarfon tried to test him by saying, well, wasn't his name like this, Yochanan ben Yonatan? He corrected him. The fellow wasn't just making it up. He really knew the name. And Rabbi Tarfon kept asking him. And the guy every time got it the same way. So Rabbi Tarfon and Ishtos. You see, Rabbi Tarfon would not marry the wife off until he checked to make sure this guy really knew what he was talking about. The answer is Tanoi. Whether or not we do normal Drisha B'Chakira with Edut Isha, which is something that's not in a normal court case, it's a machloket tanaim. The Tanya, ein bokin eden hashim midrash v'chakira de Rakiva. Rabbi Akiva says you do not check with regular midrash v'chakira. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, now this is Rabbi Tarfon, of course, according to the second story, bokin. When somebody comes to testify, even though you're accepting one witness and it's a woman or a slave or a car, it doesn't matter, but nonetheless, you still do midrash v'chakira. Kavpaler v'chanina dvar Torah echad. The machloket is essentially about this problem. Chanina says, Dvar Torah echad dinei mamonot v'chad dinei nefashot b'drish v'chakira. Any court case, whether it is financial or a capital case or a criminal case, any case needs drish v'chakira. Shemar, how do I know? Mishpat echad yelachem. There's one law for everybody. And that also means there's one rule for all kinds of law. Matam amrut dinei mamonot v'chad drish v'chakira. So why did the rabbi say that when you're doing dinei mamonot, a financial case, you don't have drish v'chakira? The answer is, Shalatino Del Befein Lovin, because people are going to stop lending money. If they know that when they come to claim and they bring the witnesses, everybody's going to be so harassed with all these questions. Nobody's going to be a witness and nobody's going to want to lend money. And that's something we really have to avoid. So therefore, when it comes to financial stuff, financial cases, we do not demand drisha b'chakira. So now, from my family policy, so what's the machloket? Okay. The first version of Rabbi Tarfon, or Rabbi Akiva, if you will, maintains that since part of what's going to happen when the testimony about the husband dying is going to be taken the ketubah, it's a financial case. And the other one, the second version of Rabbi Tarfon, maintains that since the basic upshot of this testimony is to allow this woman to marry, it's not din and mamonot, it's basically din and fashot, and therefore drusha v'chakira. Am Rabbi Elazar ben Hanina, tamenei chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful sentiment with which to end the masachet. But tamenei chachamim really increase peace in the world. How? What does that have to do with the last sugi in Yivamot, the last few prakir in Yivamot? Because chachamim, on the one hand, and there's a terrible tension, on the one hand, we're very, very careful to try to open up whatever leniencies there would be in order to allow a woman to marry if her husband had died, but we didn't have the proper testimony of it. On the other hand, they were equally careful to make sure that we did not jump ahead and allow the woman to marry when there was good reason to think that there was a faint possibility. I said that deliberately. Good reason to think that there was a faint possibility that he may be alive. And balancing all of that together, as far as Mayim She'en Lamsof, and Mayim She'esh Lamsof, and as far as Edechad, Daika, Min Sabah, and as far as Tata, and all of the different considerations, is really something that's geared to ensure peace within the household, that people know that the marriage that they have is one that is secure, and one that is not going to be easily broken up because of a tragic circumstance. And on the other hand, people will know that they're not in prison forever, and indeed, if somebody tragically dies and there is enough information to go on, that people will be able to go on and move to the next stage in their life. In any case, the all of your children are students of Hashem, and they have great peace. All right, and that's the pasuk. In some versions of it, like in Brachot, it has the addendum. But we don't have that here. In any case, Baruch Hashem, we have completed the study of Masachet Yivamot. Cause for tremendous celebration, and of course, the real job now is to go back and study Masachet Yivamot properly. Just do it much slower and much more methodically and in greater depth and with greater analysis. But in the meantime, within this program, we will be picking up immediately with Masachet Ketubot. Yishar koach to all of the lomdim, all of those who participate in the study of Masachet Ketubot. Yichai alachai, when we go from one strength to another strength, and wish everyone a ketubah v'chatimah tovah.